So
But first place was first place the entire race.
Yep, that's to be expected, unfortunately.
Yeah, Vettel's freaking fast. He's like Loeb.
I mean, who would have thought that this many years after the reign of Michael Schumacher that we'd actually see a Red Bull team that's successful?
That's crazy.
It is. I'm not sure what to think about it. Dogs and cats living together raining sideways.
It does rain sideways sometimes.
It does, though, actually. And sometimes dogs and cats do live together.
I think it was raining sideways for race night for here.
I would not be surprised. shit, some of the rainstorms that have been coming by recently have been nuts.
This weather forecast has been brought to you by Race Night.
Yes. Hey everyone, on behalf of Kevel and Beef Daddy, I am Seg, and we are Race Night!
Woo!
Indeed.
Hooray!
I never know how to really follow after something like that, so I'm just going to pass it to both of you. Beef Daddy, you want to introduce yourself to anybody? Feel free to do so right now.
My name is Andrew Osborne, and my gamer tag is Beef Daddy with a space.
There you go.
I'm Kevel. My gamer tag is Kevel N, because I'm not very creative.
No harm in that. And I should say that, Kevel, you have probably been over the years, actually it is over the years now. It's about 1.5 years.
Very nice.
You have been probably one of the most successful racers we've had, next to Slowbird, who could not be with us tonight.
You wouldn't know it from the second season results.
You wouldn't know it, but I think we sort of threw you in unfamiliar territory. You're used to having ABS. You're used to having a racing.
No, line. I actually don't use ABS anymore.
Oh, that's right. I sort of weaned you off that after taunting you, didn't I?
Yeah, I can't go back.
It really messes up your racing line when you're using it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it breaks things.
But we took that away from you. We basically took every assist away from you and required you to drive the track with figuring out your own braking points and that sort of thing. And so I think that threw you off a bit, whereas Slowbird likes to practice tracks for hours on end, so.
You know what, what was the first track that I won at? That one I practiced for a long time. The rest of them I practiced, like.
Now you have to ask me. I have to bring this up. I'm going to bring this up right now because I have to know. There, I have it. You won the first race. That was Iberian.
Yeah, Iberian.
Which, I mean, it's a very nice track to begin with, too. We were on the mini circuit, wasn't it? And that's a nice slow track. It doesn't have any really high speed sections to it. Very technical. And there's a couple good S's in that. So yeah, you did pretty well there.
I got kind of lucky too, though. During the race, I found a new line because I passed Jugnuts in a specific spot, and I was like, "Hey, if I take this line, I go way faster."
It was through the S's, wasn't it?
No, I think it was. On right after the start finish line, there's a little turn there.
Oh right, yeah.
I took it a completely different way to get around Jugnuts, and I was like, "Hey, I'm way faster on this lap, even though I had to pass someone." I think I'll keep doing that.
Very nice. Yeah, I was very surprised about that first race. Not to call back the stuff from way in the past, but then again, nobody listening to this that is not Race Night would know to begin with. But there's those S's with the sand pits.
Oh,
right,
yeah, that part
of
I kind of cheated through.
But the thing is, everybody did.
Yeah, everybody did.
It was extraordinary because I looked at the replay and I was cutting a little bit here and there, but people were just flat out driving through the sand pits full blast. And nothing happened.
I guess that's what shows what happens when they don't actually make those slowdown points. So it kind of proves their reasoning behind making those slow people down.
Yeah, but yep. By the same token, if they did them there, it'd be a lot like Sedona, wouldn't you think, where it'd slow cars down and the guy right behind you would go crashing into you and ruin everything?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, it's.
But that happens a lot.
Oh, it happens way too much. They got to find a balance there between when are we going to slow down the guy and, you know, when are we going to just let them cut?
I think it would be fine to slow people down, just don't bring them to pretty much a stop.
Yeah. What I like one thing, and probably one of the few things I actually like about Need for Speed Shift, is that when you cut, it doesn't penalize you in the area where you're cutting. Rather, afterwards, it just cuts your speed down for 3 to 5 seconds or so.
Yeah, you were talking about that, I think, on the forum somewhere. It sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's sort of like what they do in the off-road racing where they all have control to shut off your car or whatever. They can slow you down for a set period of time if they think you've cheated a section of track. Which, I mean, it's not a bad idea. It's dangerous in its own right because then you're slow on the track itself, but at least then there's a little more opportunity for somebody to get by you rather than right in the turn where somebody might be mimicking you. But that said, we had a very interesting finale to GBGT Season 2 just yesterday, actually, in New York.
Horrible track.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I chose it because I thought it would be a great idea to create chaos and change up the points, and indeed it did.
I practiced so many laps and still crashed twice.
Yeah, I practiced, but I was using rewind through that first chicane way too much, and I pitted early because I thought I would get out of traffic, and then I confused myself coming out of the pit. I didn't quite know where I was and didn't brake at the right point, and then destroyed my car and had to limp around again and pit again. And
Yeah, I
this is like
saw that. That
lap
was a nasty
four.
crash, no less. But just ask that first. I know there's the two chicanes on the front straight. The first one you encounter
Yeah, that one
is
you
the
can flat
slow one
out.
of the two.
No, the first one you can go flat out.
You were trying it flat out.
You can go flat out. I've done it several times.
I've done
The
it.
one right before the turn is the one that you have to go slow for, isn't it?
No,
Usually,
there's a
yeah, I
yeah.
have been able to go flat out, but I found that I was much more reliable making it through there if I actually downshifted from fifth to fourth gear and just then accelerated through it, heading towards the breaking point.
I'm not sure if we're talking about the same chicane.
I think we are.
Are we?
Our finish line, there's one right by the.
Oh, yeah, that one. Okay, yeah.
And it's possible to take that completely flat out, but coming out of the
Yeah,
turn,
I
you're
would.
highly unstable usually when you do
Yes.
that, and you got to be careful.
Yes.
And I found this, I could knock about half a second off my time if I did that, but I would also have a much higher chance of crashing right afterwards. So what I'd do is I'd shift down the fourth, I'd just make sure I was set up for that and then accelerate through it.
Yeah, you did it the smart way.
It's that my whole tack for that track was just take everything safe because I figured everybody else was in crash, and sadly that was actually completely and utterly true. Everyone else crashed.
So you didn't crash even once?
I had one incident where I bumped into the back of Slowbird and damaged my front bumper, but that was it.
Wow.
And that's kind of why I ended up. I don't even know what the winning margin was. I believe it was, yeah, it was 56 seconds.
Oh, wow.
I pitted twice and ended up in fourth, so.
Yeah, that was impressive. Let's see, yeah, you were about a minute and a half behind me still, so.
Yeah.
You guys were turning decent laps given all the damage you had taken, I'll be honest, but I'm not sure I'm happy with how that race turned out in the end, even if I did end up winning the championship as a result. I think it just calls back a little too much to our original first season GBGT, where somebody just pulls away and nobody can catch him, and
Yeah.
there's no action on the track other than just survival.
But everybody drove crazy except for you, that's why. If everybody drove sensible like they should have, it would have been a much closer race.
If you can see the replay at some point, you should see there's on the back straight, the second of the two chicanes, the slow one there.
Yeah.
Everybody takes that one crazy.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I did not get taken out in a couple of laps because I would literally be riding on the side of the curbs coming out of there with just inches away from the terror wall where I could just nick it and go flying into a sidewall very easily.
On the exit of that chicane, you can actually, I found in, during testing, you can actually sort of bump the tires, and it wouldn't upset my cars all that much.
Really? That's very interesting. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised too, because generally when you hit stuff at high speed, you crash.
Yep.
Usually your car would at least get upset enough that it goes slamming into a wall.
Yeah.
The only time I saw that happen in that chicane was when Slowbird entered it wrong, nicked the right side tires, and went flying into the tire wall at the end of the chicane.
Yeah, on New York, when you crash, you generally crash pretty bad.
Oh yeah, it's always nasty. I mean, that fast first chicane that everybody should have slowed down for, but very few people did because everybody wanted to catch up time, and I don't blame them. That was probably some of the most violent crashes in all of the season. 100% damage to engines, cars rolling over several times.
except for those two random rollovers on Camino Viejo.
Oh, shoot, you're right. I remember that when we were coming out of the uphill section going left and somebody just clips the inside curb and inexplicably goes flying into the outside wall flipping.
And I was neck and neck with Andrew, with Beef, and I got a little bit too confident there and cut in too far and overwent my Civic.
Yes, I enjoyed that win.
And you got fourth and bumped me back to fifth. Bastard.
Hey, hi. However you got to win it. Yeah, it did. Actually, no, you were in sixth place looking at the scores here.
Am I?
Yeah, you were in sixth place in the track. Right. But,
wait, no, I mean like in total.
Oh, yeah, total-wise in standings, yeah. You finished in fifth place, yeah, and B finished fourth.
Yeah, that was my goal, was to take you out of the last race, by the way.
Ouch.
Well, not, like, take you out, but I mean pass you for the championship.
Good job.
Which, admittedly, also, since the chicanes are pretty tight at New York, there was a lot of give and go between drivers, including, Kevel, you were leading, and I was gaining on you pretty fast in the straights, and you decided to give me one of the chicanes.
Yeah.
Give me the chance to go first. And in doing so, you kind of slowed down a little too much.
Yeah, and I got passed by a bunch of other people.
Yeah, you got eaten up by Jugnuts and Slowbird, actually. Now I'm looking at it.
I was in the pit.
Oh, yes, you were, because you had already rolled that point, which you had a really good sprint race, I should say. You won handily.
Yeah, I just got crazy in the feature.
Yeah. I guess it was kind of better off that everybody was acting crazy. We had the huge incidents that took out the whole field in the sprint race, which is nice because we don't turn on damage there for that very reason. And that's the one time that worked out. So, yeah, New York was a hell of a track. We will probably never do that again because the track. It's just cars don't see enough cars during those 18 laps. Not like any other track where they were so short that you were inevitably in a battle either with a lapped car or with another car for a position at some point during the race for at least several laps. I think every other course accomplished that at least. I don't know if there's any disagreements here.
There was generally quite a bit of traffic. Someone was always coming up on you or you were coming up on someone else.
Yeah, there were a lot of battles.
Yeah, that was what I wanted to sort of get done with season two, because season one is just dreadful, unfortunately, as much as I wanted it to be good.
I like season one, probably because I came in second.
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem is you were pulling away and Slowbird was pulling away all the time. You guys were always fighting for the lead, but back behind you was just single car battles, unfortunately.
Yep. Yeah.
Which, that's unfortunate, I hate to say. But the season ends, and by one point, I wound up beating Slowbird, which is probably why he's not here tonight, as we mentioned earlier. He was very depressed.
Yeah, he was not happy. It kind of made me feel bad for taking him out last race.
We don't need to feel bad for that, because you have to remember the video he shot for Sedona and posted on YouTube, where he said, Slowbird is in control. Slowbird is dominating these infidels.
I forgot about that.
I mean, that's the reason why we all went into kill Slowbird mode, you know?
That is true.
We use him as a whipping boy, and when he starts getting arrogant and talking trash about him, that's where you got to get the hammer and start smacking him back down like a whack-a-mole. So, in the end, that kind of worked out, I think. And next season, I don't know what we're doing yet.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us know what we're doing yet.
True.
We were talking about doing 1990s Japanese cars, but I hear some dissent. People don't want to do that anymore. And
I mean, they're fun, but it's just it's all it's going to be is GTOs versus Skylines, and even then, the GTO is still faster than the Skyline. The GTO you gifted me is faster than my Skyline, which I used to destroy with.
That is true, and you know I'm not against a GTO Cup because I freaking love that car.
Yeah, it's a good car.
But by the same token, maybe we want something with a little more diversity again. So that
we do stock Genesis coupes.
Well, or stock GTOs.
Yeah, that'd work too. And I should mention for the crowd that Kevil is very biased towards Hyundai Genesis Coupes because he happens to own one.
Yes, and I'm very happy with it. Other than the fact that now that I'm not wearing a coat in it anymore, the seatbelt rubs against the side of the seat and makes a noise. I have to figure that out. I either have to move my seat around or figure out some way to get it to stop doing that.
That is not a good sign. I hate it when seatbelts mess up like that.
The problems of new cars.
Yeah, heaven forbid. Can't imagine. It could be worse, though. I've heard of cars that have, like, wind noise issues.
Yeah,
I have one of those currently.
Oh, great. What car do you have that has it right now?
Acura Legend.
Oh.
But it has it because it has a door damage.
Oh, okay. It got hit?
Yeah.
Yeah, the last car I had that had any issues like wind and that sort of thing, you could tell it was not anything I was going to be able to fix because the car was dented all around. It was a 1995 Dodge Neon ACR that was used for club racing in Florida.
Oh.
It showed.
Yeah.
How did you end up with that?
Oh, that's a long story. I basically, I'd been searching for a Neon ACR to practice as my first car to drive around in when I was in high school. And I was really hopeful I could find it, but my dad and I were looking around. We couldn't find anybody willing to, give us one, or they wouldn't give us the time of day for the money we were looking for one. And then finally, out of nowhere, at the local hardware store, lo and behold, a Neon ACR with the roll cage and bunch of weird racing type stuff just appears. And it turns out it's a guy who just moved to Michigan from Florida, and he wanted to get rid of it because, lo and behold, he's working at a hardware store now. He needs a truck to move things in and out. And so we were trying to talk him down in price. He wasn't going for it because that was his daddy's race car, and daddy's race car doesn't go for a low price range. And then he made the mistake of blowing a tire and getting pulled over by a cop and having it impounded. We were able to talk him down a bit after that one, unfortunately. But, yeah, it was a big process, making the roll bars not look like orange shit, pulling the foam out of the gas tank, a lot of stuff like that. It was fun.
You wouldn't just get a new gas tank?
Oh, no. I mean, we didn't have the money to do that. We just figured it'd be easier just to get something pokey and just pull it all out so that – because the issue I was having wasn't that, we couldn't get fuel in there. Obviously, the foam keeps the fuel nice and steady in there. It's just I couldn't tell how much fuel was left in the car, so I had to work off the gauges, and I was not trustworthy enough of that yet.
How many times did you run out of gas?
Zero, thankfully.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah,
good job.
I was very conservative in that. It's like any time I thought the gas might be even half empty, I just stopped and filled it up.
In my Acura, which is, well, pretty much like a Civic, the gas gauge was like a bar with like blocks, so one time I got it down to zero blocks, and I got really, really nervous because I was on my way to work, and I was going to be late and all sorts of stuff. And then I pull into the gas station. I'm like, I turn off the radio. I like turn off the defroster, just like anything and everything to try and save gas. And I still have like 5 liters of gas left in the tank, which is just over a gallon for most of the American listeners probably. And yeah, so I don't know, I guess it's built-in stupidity safety thing.
Yeah, I know why it's safety. I know why they don't want you to just flat out run out of gas, but that annoys me so much when they do bars or when it hits empty and it's got another 50 miles in it.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's like, at least be realistic about that stuff. So when you say zero, I am got maybe 5 miles and find a gas station.
We like to live on the edge.
Yeah,
exactly.
Let me live on that edge with the gentlemen. I'm going to interrupt this real quick. It seems we have had a slow bird join the Skype. Do we want to bring him in?
Let's bring him in.
Let's bring him in.
Hooray!
Hello, slow bird.
Am I on?
You're on.
Hello.
You're on the air.
We were all afraid you committed suicide.
No, I was afraid too.
So, Slowbird, we were talking about this already, but we might as well jump back to it real quick and get your thoughts on GBGT Season 2.
I suck at things.
Just because you got second place amongst 7 to 6 talented drivers. 7 talented drivers. Don't you insult Hay4Z.
I was thinking like 9, actually.
Okay, yeah, that's right, 9. I guess we can... I should not be mean to Rathacon or Razorback King, even though Razorback King finished 4 minutes after the rest of us.
I guess GT Van never actually made it in, did he?
He never did, unfortunately, even though he was desperate to make it in. Anytime we had openings, he was not around. So to recap now, with Beef Daddy Slowbird and Kevil N, I am Seg, and this is Race Night again. Okay, so basically, my thoughts on New York is that it was a little too much like Season 1. Slowbird, agree?
What?
Pay attention!
Okay, you're saying the race of the last race.
The last race in New York was a little too much like Season 1's racing, where we'd have too much of a split between cars.
It was too much like all the races we always do in New York, where there's a big split between guys because we're all in the wall.
Except for Trace.
Yeah, I actually made it through.
Yeah.
Bastard.
The only issue I had was hitting your rear end that one time.
Uh-huh.
That's what she said.
That's a Race Night meme for those that are like, why are they making that joke?
I'm officially not going to spend any time testing or practicing next season because it can't get any worse.
You could get worse. I mean, you were only second. You could be eighth next season.
You could get worse. I was second last season, and I was fifth this season. So
I'm not going to win. I'd rather not waste all that time and get eighth than waste all that time and still not win.
But, okay, moving on from all that, Slowbird, what would you like to see in...
I would like to see no tracks with any walls at all.
Okay. Well, I have given you the schedule to pick for this next race, so... It's up to you to make sure that happens.
No walls.
I'm going to take a good long look at it. Well, no immediately close walls.
So it's all just going to be the benchmark ring, the completely open one.
So there's plenty of time. So there's plenty of runoff room.
Yes, lots of runoff room. No slow zones. No penalty sand.
They're going to be like new F1 tracks.
Yes. Yes, so that we can keep everything close. Sarcasm.
Now, what kind of cars do you want to see in Season 3?
I had an idea.
Okay.
Since some people weren't so hot on the GTO kind of cup, but some people do kind of like that idea, we could go halfway and do Japanese rear-wheel drive cup.
Huh, that's a possibility. We could do something like that.
Supras, RX-7s, Silvias.
That might work.
Yeah.
We can try that out.
Yeah. I'm not entirely against that idea. I think that could work.
You should throw a drift event in the middle of it.
Oh my god, Ken Blockathon.
Yeah.
That'll be like the all-star race.
There we go. Oh my goodness, it'd be a 20-minute drift session, best lap wins. Wow. I'm not sure what I think about this. I'm kind of confused and scared.
I forgot I have notes. I'll be back in 2 seconds.
Oh, holy shit, somebody brought notes.
I was kind of looking forward to having all-wheel drive for the next one.
You know, to be honest, I kind of was too.
You're like, oh, nice and safe.
I'm sick of excessive understeer or oversteer.
Yep.
Yeah.
They wanted a nice neutral car.
Actually, for me, it's always been understeer. What am I talking about? I had the Acura TSX for Season 1. That was understeer crazy.
I think you just used that to spite me or something like that, didn't you?
Yeah, it's because you ask for a front-wheel drive car, and it's like, oh, fuck it, I'm not using a rear-wheel drive. I'm going to use front-wheel drive to be the cool kid because you demanded this fucking car.
I think I just used it once just to kind of screw with you guys, and then you were like, I'm going to use that.
And then I used it.
Yeah, and then you used it. And
then I switched to a Corvette, which is pretty much the opposite of a TSX.
I like the CSX just because it's insane.
Yeah, there's a reason why I don't let late submissions come in for car selections in GBGT anymore, though, because that season got ruined because every car that somebody suggested right at the end of our testing period ended up being the cars that dominated the season.
The Maserati was... Was in there early, I think.
Hay4Z just brought it in real quick, and then just from there it was like, okay, well, we didn't say it was all right, but
No, we tested it.
The Maserati. I thought the Maserati. Like, I had my Maserati for quite a while. I think.
I remember being in there with the Jaguar. We tested them simultaneously. I thought.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I remember it. It wasn't on the list originally.
I think the Corvette was fairly late.
The Corvette was the latest. Yeah, that was more just okay. And we're going to get a proper Chevrolet car in here, and I demand it. And I'm like, okay, whatever, fine, I don't care. I've already let five different cars in at this point.
It's not like the Maserati dominated. It's the braking line dominated, really.
Ah, yeah.
You banned my Cayman. I like that car.
The Cayman was fast. Not going to. That was way too fast. That was going to destroy the series.
I liked it.
Mid-engine cars are never allowed ever.
It's just if we had let the Cayman in, that would have been the Cayman Cup by race 3.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah,
I would have been using it. I guarantee you.
GBGT season 4 Cayman Cup.
Season 4. I have something interesting planned for then. Still.
Season 5 Cayman Cup.
Well, season 5 is going to be Forza 4. I can guarantee you that.
They'll have a Cayman, right?
They'll probably have a Cayman, I would imagine.
Yeah.
They've got the assets. They can use it.
By that time, we're all going to be have flying cars.
No.
I'm hoping for Tesla Roadsters, though.
Yes. I would drive... Actually, were there electric cars in GT4? Gran Turismo 4? No, right?
Oh, geez. I think there might have been one.
I remember there being a hybrid or something.
Yeah, it was a hybrid. That's right. It was not an electric car. But there might have been somewhere, but I don't think they...
I remember driving something weird that was, like, silent or...
Did you guys ever
had one gear or something like that.
Did anyone else get, like, the Toyota test demo disc of GT4? It had some weird car in it.
It had the Prius.
Oh. It had some other weird cars, like open cockpit, open wheel kind of car.
Oh, okay.
Like a prototype that never... I don't know if they even made it in real life.
I don't know. I mean, oh, God, that's bringing back nightmares. There was one that I really wanted in GT4 I could never get because it was blocked behind a fucking stupid one-lap magic test. It was the Toyota 7. It was this beautiful prototype-type car that had a tail that just said Toyota in big letters, and God, it was awesome. I never used it because those fuckers kept it from me.
The only car I ever wanted in that game that wasn't a Ford was the Celady.
Well, let's not lie here, too. We both wanted the Model T.
Oh, well, that's a Ford.
Yeah, it is a Ford. But I just wanted to say that anyways, because...
Yeah, I don't think I played GT4 enough, because I didn't even notice those cars.
Yeah, same here.
Well, something they hid away pretty well. I mean,
yeah. You
wouldn't face the Model T anywhere in the game unless you unlocked it through getting gold on the hardest license tests. Yep.
I don't think I even got... I don't know how... I remember driving it once, but I don't think I got all golds on the license.
Jeez, that's... I don't know why Gran Turismo still insists on license tests, because I don't think anyone likes them.
I understand why they started doing that from the get-go, because that added a bit of realism, and it was during a time where you were going away from this whole arcade idea and moving into this... Hey, video games can simulate reality in a way, rather than Ridge Racer sideways sliding all the time.
They had to untrain the drifting.
Yeah. But I mean, now, like, I mean, people hop into Forza and they know what to expect for the most part, I would say.
Yeah, you get...
I mean, because of the assists, you can make it arcadey, or you can actually drive properly.
Yep,
absolutely, and it's just, yeah, you get the one race to start where they give you an R8 and you just kick ass in the race, or in some cases don't, and that's all you need, you know? It'll suggest what you need from there on assist-wise, but why does it matter? You're just going to race anyways.
I completely forgot about that. That's actually I think that's a pretty good way of doing things.
And a lot of games do that now. Shift 2 did that as well, where it's like, hey, bro, I'm Vaughn Gittin Jr. Here, have a GTR. Now win this race. It's totally set up for you, and they got all these hot cars. Hey, bro, you did pretty sick there, but if you skip this race and don't win, you're going to miss an achievement, bro. Oh, wait, I didn't say that in the game because I'm an asshole.
Aww.
Actually, a guy in real life is not so much an asshole. He's just a party dude.
Let's get the party going.
Well, it's more that when I was at PAX East, to call back to that yet again, he was there for a special Shift 2 Unleashed, you know, face Vaughn Gittin Jr. in a race. And he was an asshole on the track, but that's beside the point.
Who isn't, really?
Yeah, I mean, literally, he was just mocking them using the Ken Block rules of drift ahead of the guys if they're losing.
Awesome.
And so what he would do, when he's talking to people there, all of a sudden all the booth girls I had there, because apparently PAX doesn't censor booth girls anymore, they were all ganging around. It's like, we've never been to Boston before. We all need to go out and get party. We know this great bar. They have great shots. We all got to have shots. And he's just there, yeah, we're all going to get drunk tonight. And he's just one of those dudes. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but that's also not necessarily the most likable character. Just saying.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun, though.
Yeah. Vonnegutten Jr. Yep. will replace the British guy in the next four of the games.
You've given me another thing to look forward to for PAX Prime.
Oh, God, booth girls. Yeah. You know, if they have booth girls at Forza 4's booth or Turn 10's booth or whatever it is, or if even if it's just Microsoft booth, if Brian Ekberg's there, I'm going to give him shit. Yeah. I'm just saying, I've already put up a couple standards here, you know. The first standard is, and I'll repeat this since I don't think I've mentioned it on the podcast before, if Forza 4 announces, and this went for PAX East, and I'm going to keep it going for PAX Prime, if they announce that they have more than 8 people to a multiplayer lobby, which they have already in leaked video, if they announce they're going to have day-to-night cycle, and if they announce they're going to have weather of some sort, be it cloudiness, sunniness, or even rain and snow, then I will give Brian Ekberg the manliest and tightest hug I can possibly give another man. And I mean that, and I will back that up. I will have Kevel right there taking pictures and or video of the incident. And I will post that shit on Giant Bomb, and I will be thoroughly embarrassed and enjoy it.
I have a couple more requests if you want to ask him.
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely. Let's get that out of the way.
I want matte or flat paint because I don't seem to be able to get that going. And way more letter fonts.
That would be nice, yeah. Letter fonts and matte paint would be awesome. Absolutely brilliant. Yes. Yeah, there's a couple things like that. I think when we get closer to Forza 4, I'll have a full wish list of things I want to have happen. But needless to say, I've got a whole completely insane list of little tiny details that they probably have no time for to put in the game.
Hopefully they do the launch events again. I don't know how that worked in the States, but the one that I went to was freaking awesome.
Yeah, they didn't really do any in our area. It was like, oh, Michigan, you could stand by all the Tekken and DJ Hero guys and listen to them blab on about their games, and then you get Forza 3 at the end, and you get to go home.
Oh.
So there was nothing special.
They had like a bunch of like triple screen things set up and racing seats, and then they had an autocross in the parking lot where you could sit with people, and a friend of mine got to sit in a what's the little Lotus that we use for car soccer?
The Elan.
Yeah, they had a buddy of mine got to ride in that. I was in a 700 horsepower G35, some Subaru. There was someone brought a rusty old Toyota Corolla GT or Treno, as it's known in Japan.
You mean legendary Hachiroku?
And you know what, though? He actually did. It was a tight course, right? So, well, as most autocrosses are, and he actually did really well. He surprised a bunch of people.
Nice.
And people could actually bring their own cars, and some guy showed up in a maroon Volvo.
Wow.
Maroon Volvo wagon and took that out.
That is gutsy and kind of manly in a very weird and wrong way.
Yeah,
so I'm guessing
I think the Elan ended up winning. Well, they had times, and I think the Elan ended up winning.
Cause... That would not surprise me. It is a very tiny car, so that was probably a monstrous track for it.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. One thing I did want to hit on, too, we were going to talk about some real racing news as well. And I think...
Regan Smith.
Yes, Regan Smith. We can talk about that as well. You know, I guess we can talk about NASCAR at some point. I guess, if we have to. But we also had Formula One.
What's
that? Daddy watched that race, which I hear was actually probably one of the more exciting Formula One races since Ayrton Senna died.
There was a lot of passes in that race.
84 passes or so, I think, in 54 laps.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow, that's...
New records for a long time.
Now, I think the way that was happening a lot of times, too, is they have that DRS wing system or something, don't they, where you pull up close enough to behind a guy and you're able to adjust your wing to get a lot more downforce and pass them?
Yeah, so there's an activation zone, like a corner beforehand, and if you're within a second, then you get to activate it. Nice. For the next corner or the next straightaway.
And so people would activate that, and the next straightaway would be an uphill-downhill section. The uphill, they'd be using the wing to get up, and as soon as that expires or whatever, or even if it didn't, I don't know if it expired at any point during that.
No, I think they were good all the way on the straightaway.
Oh, my God. So then, as they're going downhill, they can activate the curves, if they have it. And that was leading to a lot of huge speed differentials, where guys would just shoot past one another constantly.
Yeah, you see somebody at, like, 320 kilometers, and then they're passing somebody at, like, 290.
Jesus Christ.
You know, I heard a rumor that next season Formula One is going to introduce the Joker jump.
God damn it, Slowbird.
Vitaly Petrov already tested it out a couple of weeks ago.
They test out those jumps all the time. Nobody wants to take them except the people who crash out.
That was an impressive jump.
That was impressive. Keep your Joker jumps out of my Formula One. Keep them in Rallycross where the monster drinks belong and all that crap.
No, dude, that
what do you think of the engine change?
I actually haven't heard about the engine change. What is that?
So the engine change is by 2013, we're going back to four-cylinder turbos.
Right, yeah, I've heard about that.
Holy crap. So they're
going to be 1.6 liters.
Wow. So wait a minute. Where do they run right now? They've gone down from engine sizes that they used to have. Didn't they used to have
they're
V10s?
In eights. Yeah, they're in eights now.
And they're going to half the engine. Oh my God. That is insane.
Put turbos on.
Yep. It's going back to turbos.
So is this going back to the whole idea where Bernie Ecclestone wants Formula One to be a green series?
I think so, but he was talking about, he said he doesn't care what size the engine is as long as it sounds good. I was reading that article.
You know what? I do not blame him. That's pretty badass to say for a rich motherfucker like him.
Yep.
See, I thought that was very interesting, the Formula One battle, even though in the end Sebastian Vettel creamed the whole group.
As he has all season.
Yeah. I said this before we started the podcast, but I am just amazed that a Red Bull team has actually won at anything in the last year or two. That is unheard of.
Do any of you drink Red Bull? Because I'm trying to figure that out.
I don't.
No.
Too expensive.
I think it's actually – I've had it with vodka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About it.
Yeah, I think that's where their sales come from a lot of times now. I think it's just all the bars buy it and then inject it in drinks and such.
I guess.
Gotta be.
I think they have a lot of money somehow.
Because they sponsor every sporting event there is.
Yeah, exactly. I saw a drift video, and there were two Red Bull there was a Red Bull sponsored Genesis Coupe and a Pontiac Solstice drifting through Atlanta, and they were both sponsored by Red Bull.
Jeez,
Reese Millen.
Yeah,
that guy's a lot older than I thought he would be. I had never seen him before.
Yeah, he's a bit older. He tried doing rally in the Rally America Series back when it was run by SCCA, and there's a reason why he's in drift now, because he was not very good at rally.
He's doing the hill climb too, isn't he?
He does the hill climb, and
he built that custom V8 Hyundai for it.
Yeah, he there's been some other. I think he has, but before then, there's some other guys from rally, legitimate guys from rally that were using Hyundais to hill climb, and they were pretty good. Buffum, I think one of them was, but then I'm getting into too much inside baseball. But essentially, Reese Millen, I remember the only time I saw him do the hill climb was in a Mitsubishi, and that was about the time where Mitsubishi was dropping him from their team.
Oh.
And it showed in his hill climb performance because he was not very good. But yeah, so Red Bull is in frickin' everything. Apparently, I guess they must sell in Europe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't imagine Monster drinks sell well there.
Too vulgar.
I drink Amp. I get it for free.
Oh, you get it for free? Really?
Yeah.
God damn. That's nice.
Yeah, it's a little work perk. It pisses people off, but whatever.
What? So at eBay / PayPal, you get free Amp?
Yeah, so there's a subcontracted company out of there that makes the food, like the cafe. And they have a menu system, and they're all their computers, and me and my boss work on those, so they compensate us with food and drinks and stuff.
That is awesome. That is a job I could get behind right there.
Yep.
Whenever I go up to HR, they always have some sort of food, and they feed me.
And that sounds more like how I was back when I was working for a medical statistics company. We would just look into the lunchroom, and somebody would inevitably have food just sitting there, and we'd go in and scavenge it before they got in and started eating on it. It'd be just another guy and I. We were just buddy scavenging. We'd just look in there and say, hey, hey, there's food. They're not in it. Let's get it. And, you know, hey, free salad, free veggies, or, you know, sometimes free sandwiches. It was nice.
Yep.
Yeah. So how about those video games?
So I had to rebuy Grand Theft Auto for this weekend.
Oh, right. We're going to talk about doing Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. Because from what Razorback King was saying, like, I've never had a chance to play that game with more than two other people in multiplayer. And I mean, it's just like, you get to go in this gigantic open world with just a bunch of random guys and just drive around and do crazy shit.
Dude, yeah. You have no idea.
There's only a couple of you, it gets boring because you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Or you lose each other.
Yeah.
I got that game at a midnight launch, and I got sick of the single player very quickly, so I ended up playing a lot of open multiplayer, just joining random matches and the like.
Yeah, the gunplay kind of sucks in that game.
It
does, yeah. And the checkpointing system is absolute shit, where if I die, I have to go rebuy body armor, which takes about an hour.
Yeah, that's why you don't die.
Go find the mission again, and then I'll get shot to pieces in a couple seconds and have to repeat the whole process again, all while losing money.
Yeah, I beat it. I bought the two add-ons too when they were on sale.
Yeah, I did not get to
rent those.
Beat those. No,
I didn't play very much of them.
I want to get the PC version next time it's really really cheap, and then there's mods out there that you can just download this big mod and it will change every car in the game to like real cars, real world cars, and then I'll play through it again maybe.
It runs.
Yeah, and you can do gravity tweaks too.
Yeah.
I heard it still runs real shitty though. Like
I have a pretty high end PC, so I think it'll be happy.
But yeah, the free roam, it's very nice, especially if you're just playing with people you know, because it's the best fuck around system there is in any game ever.
We made our own racetrack around that airport, and we raced that damn thing so many times.
I think this is going to be fun. How many people are coming?
I don't know.
Hopefully we don't end up with more than 8.
I know. Well, we can, because you can have, like, many? Yeah, you can have, like, 24, I think they said.
Sweet Jesus.
I'm still not rebuying it.
No?
It's only $17.
That's $17 too much.
$17.
I'd buy it for a dollar.
I'll tell you what, Slowbird. You don't buy GTA 4, and I won't buy Dirt 3. Yeah.
So go buy it, Slowbird, so that...
I don't think it works that way, though.
Well, if you say you bought GTA 4 and you show up playing GTA 4, I guess I'll have to go buy Dirt 3, won't I?
Oh, okay, so it does that work that way.
Oh, I love making threats that are so awful.
I'm excited for Dirt 3.
Yeah, Dirt 3 is going to be good. I just want to go back real quick to GTA 4, because there is a moment that is probably the most awesome moment I've ever had in any video game I've ever played in multiplayer that happened at the airport. And it was during, there's a bunch of kids naturally taking helicopters and flying around the airport going, hey, does anybody want a helicopter ride? Hey, I'm going to land over here. Anybody want to get in this helicopter and have fun with me? Guys, I'm going to take off. Does anybody want to get in the helicopter?
And you shot him with a rocket.
Yes, usually I would shoot them with a rocket. Hey, you blew up my helicopter. Now I'm going to ride. But sometimes we just ignore them and let them fly around. So one of the things I did love to do a lot of times is I'd get onto a motorcycle, one of the really fast superbikes or dirt bikes sometimes. I would get somebody to sit on the behind me on the seat. So we were doing the whole buddy system, and I would go and hit the little sign ramps in the airport and try and do front flips and back flips on the bike. And one of the times, there was a helicopter trying to buzz us at the time being. It was going the other way. I hit the ramp. I go flying in the air. I start doing a backflip. It thinks we're going to crash, so both of us all of a sudden just slowly start lifting off the seat and flying upward. And as we're floating upwards very slowly, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this helicopter comes flying by, chops us up in blades, and sends us flying about 300 feet into the air.
Oh.
Our limp corpses just...
And then you pulled your parachute.
Oh, we couldn't parachute because we were dead. We had been chopped up in the blades, and we're just all laughing, and I just basically scream in this apartment in Ann Arbor, "This is the most awesome thing that's ever happened to me!"
That's pretty bad.
That sounds pretty awesome.
It was, yeah, that was, I've never had a multiplayer moment surpass that level of epic, doing a backflip on a motorcycle into a helicopter blade.
Yep. Even just describing it that way sounds pretty epic.
It floated up into, it's like, for a few seconds I briefly floated up into the sky and touched the face of God.
Then he chewed you up and spit you out.
Yeah, exactly. He pretty much chewed me up and spit me out. Kind of like Andross. But Dirt 3 now.
Dirt 3, helicopters.
Helicopters in Dirt 3, confirmed.
Yep.
Done.
In fact.
As long as they have monster logos on them, they can be in the game.
They're going to be flown by Ken Block.
Oh, no, don't bring that up.
One of these days I'm going to bring that up, and we're going to have a lot of...
You're going to offend a lot of
people. There'll be some angry people.
Ken Block is not a good helicopter pilot. Let's just say that. I'm not saying anything more. But here's the thing. Michigan. It has a couple historic rallies that have been going on for a couple years. I say historic in the way that they've been going on before Monster Energy Drink and Ken Block got in the rally.
Gotcha.
And they take place in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Upers.
Yep, the Upers, exactly. The ones who talk like Canadians a little bit, or like Sarah Palin.
They?
Yeah,
you say exactly. Canadians talk like Sarah Palin.
Oh, no, no. Canadians don't all talk like Sarah Palin. You're proof of that. I'm talking like the real woodsy ones, the ones that appear on Red Green. But Michigan, these rallies were in the UP, and they're done in winter season, like January, February, or then November, December. And let's be honest, that's when snow happens in that region. Snow or ice. There is never a time where there is not snow or ice in that region.
Snow business.
Yes, it is snow business. I will accept your horrible pun.
Woo!
And
Rally Sweden.
Exactly. It's like Rally Sweden a bit, except it's less, you know, huge amounts of snow and more just freezing-ass cold ice stuff.
And more trees. Well. Probably more trees.
And yeah, more trees. A lot more trees. And so you say you have Michigan in the game, and this is what I expect. I expect there to be a lot of snow, a lot of frigid ice, and just nightmarish hell of snow. You know, don't make it as pretty as Sweden either. Just make it this ugly, ice-looking area where you feel like you've gone to die. Because when you go to the UP, you've gone there to die.
Hella snow, bro.
But instead, I looked at one of the videos they had of it. And it's just a bunch of trees in the fall. And you're racing through what looks like a public park trail.
Yeah, I think they made the tracks wide for those that cannot drive.
I don't like that at all.
Because there's a lot of people complaining about that.
You know, if Michigan should be like one of the final tracks and it should be an utter hell, and people should hate our state for it.
Yeah.
But instead what we get is this track that says it's Michigan but looks a lot like New Hampshire from Road Rash 2.
I really liked Road Rash.
Yeah, why would they bring that back?
We need a new Road Rash.
It makes no sense why it hasn't come back.
Well, it's like, been 3D is the problem, and they've done these horrible 3D versions of it that are nothing like Road Rash 2 or 3.
Oh. Like, I like violence, I like motorcycles, I like violence on motorcycles.
Yes, let's put our peanut butter and chocolate together.
That's why you play Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
But give me better motorcycle physics.
Oh, yes. Man, those motorcycles suck.
Another game they need to bring back, I don't know if you guys ever played Rocket Jockey. Sega Soft.
No, I did not play that.
That sounds like a sex term.
No, it's like a horse jockey, and you were on these rockets.
Not dispelling the rumors of being a sex term.
They had grappling hooks, and you could grapple people off the other rockets and attach them to things. And they were like bombs, and you could play soccer, and it was the most awesome thing ever.
Other than the playing soccer, you've done nothing to dispel the fact that this could be a Sega CD sex game. Marky Mark is involved. You make your own videos and post them to your
Look it up, drive. Rocket Jockey. There might be some porn.
Yep, I'm not going to do that. I have Safe Search on.
Oh, Safe Search.
But that's the thing. It's just, I like Dirt 3, or I like the idea of Dirt 3. I want to buy it, but it's do Michigan right. Act like you're actually going to respect Rally if you say you're going to respect Rally. Don't just, you know, say, oh, we're not going to do as much Ken Block stuff. Hey, here's a whole Gymkhana section. Hey, don't you love the hooning?
I have a solution for you.
Okay.
Buy Dirt 3 and then play it until you're sick of that and then go play Richard Burns Rally again.
How about this? How about I go find a copy of Richard Burns Rally and just play that instead?
Because no multiplayer.
Right, I don't care about multiplayer. I mean, I guess thanks. Actually Rally Trophy had multiplayer, but I never played it for that because the multiplayer and that sucked.
Guy on the internet we play games with.
Yeah.
He hates us all.
Well, I know he hates.
I don't hate you.
You should.
Enough with the self-loathing. You're not.
Yes.
Nobody hates you except
yeah,
we
fine.
Act like we do.
Did everyone? Was everyone confused about why you were sad at work today?
No, because I just don't talk to people that much.
Okay.
Well, there's your problem.
Yeah.
Slowbird, we need 15 copies. Oh, you look glum. Get over it.
No, they never really need me to do stuff that requires them to tell me about it. I already
know
what to do.
Slowbird, you're sitting at your desk. You look glum. Get over it. How's your mother doing?
Regan Smith.
Regan Smith, yes.
I'm better now.
Okay, yeah, we actually skipped over NASCAR. I guess that probably should be an ending point for this little discussion of ours. Because it's freaking NASCAR.
NASCAR ends all things.
Pretty much. I mean, NASCAR is good for the first 10% of the race sometimes, and the last 10% of the race most of the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everything else is just unwatchable.
Yeah. Except road courses.
Yeah, except road courses. You're right. Watkins Glen and Sears Point are good. Well, they ruined Sears Point thanks to the goddamn IndyCars.
Yeah, so, they need to go back to the old layout.
They need to put bigger hills in there. I don't care. Just double the mountain size for the first section of track. I don't care if it means that Marcus Ambrose stalls his car again and goes rolling into something.
So, you know what they should do? They should just give them massive fuel tanks so they never have to pit at all during the whole race, because that would be great.
Oh, come on. At least one pit stop.
But only for tires.
Oh, no, let's not go Formula 1 on this. I don't like the way Formula 1's done with that sort of thing. In fact, I think Formula 1 should have less guys. I think they should jump over a pit wall and have to change their tires like real men.
I want them to have to put 5 lugs on those cars.
Yes, 5 lugs!
And also take off all downforce devices and go back to this 1960s style racing.
I want to see people dragging gas can men and catch can men behind them in Formula 1.
Yes. I want to see people catch on fire because of gas tanks.
I want it to be fire I can actually see, not these invisible fires.
Yeah.
I don't believe
no one likes invisible fire.
No, invisible fire is not fun because you see a guy flying about. It's like, oh, did he get a bug in his eye or is he actually on fire? I can't tell.
Actually, that's pretty funny.
Ah, fire's not funny. Let's not talk about people who got hurt during that, the poor guys. But yes,
but they
need
okay
to have
now.
People catch on fire.
Yeah. We need more tires bursting randomly, though.
And that, too. But let's get into what NASCAR needs to improve. Basically, I think they need 2 pit stops maximum in the races, except for, like, the Coca-Cola 600, the Daytona 500, and the Brickyard 400. Every other race should be shortened down to no more than a 2-hour period.
That's a little extreme, but I like where you're going.
It is extreme, but then again, 4-hour races are pretty dull.
Yeah. I'm gonna shoot for 3 hours, and we'll see how that goes. Then maybe
okay, we can go to 3 hours for a year, and then knock it down to 2 hours the next year.
How can gradual. You watch? Do you watch 3 hours of racing slower? You can't even watch a movie.
I usually put it on while I'm doing stuff with the internet. You can do those both at the same time. But if you miss 20 laps of a NASCAR race because you're browsing the web, you don't need to know what happened. If you miss 20 minutes of a movie because you're browsing the web, you kind of have to go back and start again.
Yeah.
Yeah, which that's the problem with NASCAR, is that you can just idly put it on the background, ignore it for about 2 hours and you'd be fine. Yeah.
That's the best part.
Unless that's their point.
And you turn around and, oh my God, Jimmy Johnson's leading. How'd he get there? I don't know. But no, I think they need to drastically decrease the length of every one of their series races.
Yes.
There should be one pit stop only for the Busch Grand National or Nationwide Series or Camping Town, Jelly Bean, Jelly Belly, Nationwide Grand National Busch Series race.
NASCAR, sponsored by Jelly Belly.
Yes.
The race should last as long as it takes to eat one jelly bean.
It's the Morton's Nationwide Series. Now to find the salty driver of the week. Once again, it's Kyle Busch.
He's only salty when he doesn't win, and he always wins in that series.
Yeah, it's true.
Lame.
He's lame. But then the truck series should go back to having halftime.
I loved halftime.
Halftime is great. Yes, have a 60-lap race, 30 laps, no pit stops unless you're really damaged, in which you have to pull off the track.
Yep.
Or pull into paddock. You can't go in the pit lane and just have it fixed.
Yeah. And ban the cup guys from running more than, like, 15 races a year.
Oh, my God. We got to talk about that at some point. That's a whole other discussion in itself.
That's a separate podcast.
Yeah, that's a separate podcast because that's a really fucked up situation, letting those guys in, and there's no good answer for that.
I'm Alex Rodriguez, and I'm going to play in a AAA game, but I'm going to play in all the AAA games and help my AAA team win the AAA championship because I'm a douche.
Hi, I'm LeBron James. I'm going to play for Developmental League and help them win. Hi, I'm LeBron James. I'm playing for Ball Up Street Ball.
I'm not convinced that the D-League is a real thing. I think that the NBA made that up.
Dude, I've seen it on Versus. It exists.
Oh, you
yeah,
are.
I have.
What's wrong with you?
I was turning it on hoping to see some WC or whatever the UFC Junior is called, and I got this stupid basketball game.
Versus is like, all Versus is sometimes a hockey channel and sometimes not on at all.
Yeah. Versus has racing too, doesn't it? Like,
it does have some racing.
They have Indy.
I think they were going to have.
I'm like, oh, I can't watch that race because they don't have Versus in Canada.
It's going to be NBC Sports soon. Like,
yes, it is.
Rebrand it.
Oh, good. That's that'd be nice. Maybe it'll be picked up by more channels that are more complete cable networks.
What is,
then?
What other more cable networks does NBC have though?
Oh, a lot. They've got USA. They've got, yeah, Telemundo. They've got Sci-Fi or SIFI.
I hate that.
That station makes no sense.
That's a junk show right now.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Next week is SIFI talk.
And I will never, ever, 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 ever sing a song about SIFI.
That was not a very good Strong Bad impression, but I admire your moxie in that one.
He still might sue you.
Yeah.
They've got a bunch of others because I know all the time they all of a sudden bring NBC is green now and all these channels all of a sudden have green logos. So what the crap?
I'm going to get a cease and desist letter from homestarrunner.com.
Yep.
They'll find you. Strong Bad will show up at your door and punch you in the face with a boxing glove.
I actually kind of want that to happen.
Can you record it?
Ah, yes, we should.
I would actually pay Strong Bad to punch me in the face.
So how about that NASCAR?
Yeah, so it's possible still for really underfunded teams to occasionally pull off a crazy win.
Well, we've had Trevor Bayne do it at the beginning of the season where he thanked Jesus and God and then Jesus again.
That's
and then Regan Smith did it and he was much cooler about it, saying, man, I don't deserve this win. I don't even deserve to be in the top five, but amazing things happened today and I'm just thankful they did.
Yeah, and he totally didn't, like, cheat by using restrictor plates to even the playing field, yo.
That's NASCAR doing that, not Trevor Bayne.
No, but Trevor Bayne's to blame for going along with it. They're all to blame for not just, like, ripping the restrictor plates off and burning them in a pile or something.
Yes, I'm sure NASCAR would be very fine with doing that, not just tell all the Busch guys, hey, you want to race in the Cup for a year? Let's kick all these other guys to the curb because we can do that and nobody cares about them anymore.
Stop pretending like my ideas wouldn't work, because just because they wouldn't work doesn't mean they wouldn't work.
I'm just saying that Dale Earnhardt isn't alive anymore, so you can't just say, oh, I'm ripping off the restrictor plates. Even he couldn't do that.
That's because he didn't want to, because he could only win at those tracks late in his career. Oh.
I think he and Dale Earnhardt just, or I don't know if it's him and Rusty Wallace or Darrell Waltrip or At least one or two of them were, man, just take the restrictor plates off and let us race.
Yeah, he actually did probably feel that way.
And he won, but I think he'd like to be barreling across that track 200 miles an hour, slowly losing consciousness as his car can handle the turns too fast.
Yeah, that's fun.
That is fun.
Anyway,
Regan Smith, yeah, he really handled his win pretty well.
He is way better at driving a flat black car to victory lane than I am, apparently.
Flat black. I thought you couldn't do flat black.
It's close enough. I tried. I'm way happier with the paint scheme than with the results.
You shouldn't be so depressed about it. You finished second in the series.
I know, and I told myself I'd be totally excited just to get in the top four.
Yes, you actually went outside of your realm of comfort. You went without the driving line. You bitched about that so much before season two, saying that you were going to run into people. Blarg threatened to run into people, and he didn't show up.
Oh.
I don't know what happened to that guy.
I don't know. I think he got busy with school.
Oh.
School.
Yeah.
Who needs that?
I kind of do. I need a job.
Oh. No job. Who needs that?
You do.
No, I have a job.
You have a job now, and you need it.
Only a little. For like, forever.
That would be a little.
Yeah. NASCAR.
This is me completely ruining the whole radio of this and just staring at your icon as if I'm glaring into your soul.
Ah, it burns! Stop it! No one's gonna listen to this part.
Yeah, people have tuned out by now. I think we've completely jumped around, even more so than...
All six listeners from the first one are...
Hax is going to make time next week to yell at us over this one. And we had more than seven listeners last week. I actually watched. We had like 26 downloads.
Oh, wow. But they probably listened to like 3 minutes and were like, who the hell are these guys?
Yep, probably. Which, you know, fair enough. I don't blame them. But, yeah, so race night beyond that was pretty unremarkable, I guess. We had a clunker pushing both ways. That was exciting.
I like clunker.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, we need to do more clunker pushing. And for those who don't know, that's where we have one guy. It's Team Cat and Mouse, where one guy is the mouse in a Datsun 510 with 75% of its power taken away. So that means it has, like, 7 horsepower. And we put it up against a very tall mountain and tell it to drive up the road. It doesn't work alone, so it has to be pushed up by cars like Vipers and BMWs and...
Ford Taurus.
Audis and Ford Tauruses, yes.
Actually, the Ford Taurus worked really well.
Yeah, the Porsche Panamera, that works fantastic.
Me and Slowbird were killing in the uphill until we spun out on the exit of that tunnel on the invisible wall.
We still won.
Stupid tunnel with its invisible wall at the end on the left.
See, the problem I had is we were making great time, Falcon 304 and I, going through there. I was going right through the tunnel. Problem is, he didn't make it through.
Oh.
And the time it took him to correct, by that time I'd rolled to a stop at the peak of the little hill they have there. And by little hill, I mean like a 50-degree banking.
Yeah.
And I started slowly rolling down, and he's screaming, "Hold the brake! Hold the brake!"
Actually, you know what? Yeah, I made it through the tunnel too, and yeah, Slowbird flipped over, and then I...
Oh,
went for a bit, and then that part of the hill is very, very steep after the tunnel, and
we
I
still
came
won,
to
though.
Stop.
We still
and
won.
Yeah, and we both accidentally had clutch on too, so
that
it was a bit
worst.
More challenging.
That did suck. I couldn't get going after that.
You have to hold the clutch in and rev the accelerator a little bit, and then let it go while you're revving.
It's still difficult though.
I don't coordinate thumbs that well.
Yeah.
I can do steering and brake at the same time. That's about it.
You don't use clutch regularly, do you, Slowbird?
Never.
And you still somehow win, even though clutch makes you way faster.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
It makes you a little bit faster on straightaways. It does not help your turns.
True. Yeah.
That is true. But yeah, straightaways, it totally gives me an advantage. I remember passing Kevel because I had a manual clutch. And
in the Miatas.
In the Miatas, yeah, and I just drove past you on Road America on its front straight.
And then I learned to use clutch.
And from ever since then, Kevel is always known, always use clutch.
Except for races where you might come to a stop.
Yeah, that's true. Yep, unfortunately. So, do we have anything else to talk about, gentlemen? Because, man, I think we've exhausted our topics from Formula 1 to NASCAR to random... I don't even know what we talked about today.
We
went off topic quite a bit.
Yeah.
I still don't like the point system in the GBGT.
Well, how do you want it to go? Let's talk about that real
quick. All points go to Slowbird all the time.
Yes. I think there should be, like, maybe we could taper it off so anything below sixth place isn't worth any points at all.
We could do that, yeah.
I just want to change it up for the sake of changing.
I didn't do that originally because I expected us to have, like, more than one lobby to race.
Yeah.
But obviously that's not going to happen, so yeah, I can adjust it so that, you know, like 8th place or 7th place get 0 points. That's possible.
Maybe just each 6th, 7th, and 8th each get 1 so that people who get last still feel like they got a point.
6th, 7th, and 8th is a little too much, but 7th and 8th I can be fine with that.
All right. I think there's too much separation between the winner and 2nd place in the feature.
Maybe. I don't know.
You're putting a lot of emphasis on winning for a thing that is really short and there's not a lot of wins to be had.
That's true, but by saying, okay, yeah, for next season, I guess that's only going to be 6 races, so maybe I will pull some of the emphasis away from, or emphasis? Wow, why am I saying that? Emphasis.
Parentheses.
Yes. No, that's parentheses. Parentheses are parentheses. Wow, I am intelligent and smart. It's 85 degrees in this goddamn room.
Oh no! It was really hot at work.
Get the fire extinguisher.
It's really cold here today.
Oh, you are so damn lucky. I need that. We need a cold front around here.
It was like 90 degrees 2 days ago, and today it's in the 50s.
We need that cold front. Bring it over here. Send it over to Michigan. Damn.
Send it over to Dirt 3's Michigan track.
Yes, give us snow. Damn it!
You know why there's no snow? Because Ken Block doesn't know anything about what snow is.
Hey, bro, there's this white stuff off in the sky. Is this what they call the cocaines?
Wait, it's on the road. Shouldn't we cancel the rally or
something? I'm snorting into my nose, but it's just melting and all cold, and I can't feel my nose anymore, bro.
Does he ever drive in the snow?
Once.
He probably is now, and he's in WRC, but I doubt he's any good at it because he's not good at WRC.
He did the Rally Sweden, and he got the award for longest jump, but otherwise didn't do any good at all.
Oh, right, there's that one jump that if you get to go the farthest in it, that they give you a special award. Yeah.
And they use tires that are completely not anything like what we drive on.
Dude, there's nails in your tires, bro. This is not safe. We should change those to regular tires for maximum drifting.
If you hit a crowd, bro, you totally kill that challenge with the nails, man.
Oh.
We're doing it for Colin.
This is way more efficient than helicopters.
Hey, just you wait in a year or two when they kill Marcus Grönholm because he's following the Global Rally Club, whatever it's called. They're going to say we're doing it for Marcus.
That airs this weekend, by the way.
The GRC?
Yeah, the Global Rally Cross.
Oh, my God. It's going to be on ESPN3. I'm going to have to watch that.
Yeah,
the last time they were at Irwindale Speedway, and that was a miserable clusterfuck of a race.
I saw that on some weird TV program about extreme sports where they raced at New Jersey Motorsports Bullshit Park. Or
whatever. Yeah. It's
it's not even a real track. They just made some shit up.
Dude, we plowed New Jersey over and filled it with dirt. Now we're going to race there, bro.
Improvement.
Improvement, yes. Jersey Shore moved Italy. We don't have to respect the state anymore.
Oh,
come on. It's Jersey fucking Shore.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you're from New Jersey, I apologize for Jersey Shore. Or actually, you need to apologize for us for that, and then we'll...
Exactly. Yes. Why did you bring that into our lives?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks for ruining it, asshole.
At least we got to, see the Snooki Monster.
I'm not sure that's a good thing.
Talking about the South Park one.
Okay. I didn't see that episode of South Park, so I do apologize.
You should. Yeah, that's a good one.
I should see that, yeah. Yeah. So, Global Rallycross, that's going to be entertaining?
Infotainment?
No.
We'll see.
It's not going to be. The last one I saw was basically this guy. It was these two commentators who had no interest in the actual racing, or one of them didn't even know what was going on, and was asking this other guy and calling him a nerd all the time.
It was Ken Block.
No, it wasn't Ken Block. That's a sad thing. It should have been. Hey, bro, you act like you know something about this sport. You're a nerd. Ken, you're racing in the series. Why are you calling me a nerd? Let's cut down to the guy in the pits in the paddock. Hey, bro, I'm here with all these fans. There's nobody behind me. And we're chilling here at Global Rallycross Challenge. There's still nobody behind me watching.
You should have Ken Block announce from the car while he drives.
That would be entertaining.
Hopefully he crashes real hard.
It's yeah. a turn. Here comes a jump. Whoa, Joker. Okay, I'm going to pop an amp. Don't pop an amp in the car, Ken. I'm not going to pop an amp. Whoa, turn.
He totally just violated your sponsor agreements, bro.
You're listening and you like Ken Block. You're not going to like these episodes much. I'm going to rip on him, even though he's
News
a nice
flash.
Guy.
Nobody is listening anyway.
Yes.
Or likes Ken Block anyway.
This is going to be awkward when PAX comes back into this.
Maybe we can just convince him this was all a dream.
This was all a dream. Episode 2, this was all a dream. There we go.
That's the title.
That's the title.
Episode 2, Ooh. Friendship is Magic.
No. Look, Slowbird's happy.
Damn it, Slowbird.
Ponies.
No. No.
Fortune.
No.
Magic?
No.
Come on, magic
oh,
at least.
Oh, okay. Beef Daddy, Kevel, thank you both for joining us. Slowbird, why?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Wah! But yes, any final words, gentlemen?
Regan Smith.
How about you, Beef Daddy? Any final words?
Dirt 3.
All right. How about you, Kevel? Any final words?
It's raining this weekend.
That it is. And that'll do it for We Are Race Night. For Kevel, for Beef Daddy, for Slowbird, I am Seg, and this has been a clusterfuck of an episode. You can expect more of these. If you want to contact us, I didn't even check the email address today, goddammit, but none of you wrote me anyways. It's giantbomb4za@gmail.com. Write us, send me a PM on Giant Bomb, comment on the inevitable blog post that's going to come with this. We will see you next week for more of the same. I thank you for listening. Beef Daddy, Slowbird, Kevel N, Seg, we are Race Night.
Regan Smith.
He's not Race Night.
Regan Smith.
He's not Race Night.
He is now.
He's never joined us. He's never going to join us. It's probably iRacing.
What if I paint all my cars like that car and then change
no.
my gamer tag to Regan Smith 78? Would you then believe that he was Race Night?
Never.
I'm still going to do that, though.
This podcast is over. Thank you.